Breathe.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Resistance Radio. It's episode 55. Hope you all enjoyed last week's show and last week's Lost episode also, because this week it's all about all the crazy news we've gotten from Celebration over this past weekend. As always, I'm Mikey B, joined by my co-host, Danya.
Hey, everyone.
And we got Ben with us this week. How are you doing again, Ben?
Pretty good. How are you guys?
I'm good. And we got Caitlin with us. Hey, Caitlin. Whatever.
I missed you.
We missed you, too. We're glad you're
Caitlin,
back.
Caitlin, I missed you more, I'm Aww. Pretty sure.
Yeah, no hockey talk on the episode, guys. Anyway, if you want to get involved in the conversation, you can get a hold of us on Twitter at our radio podcast, leave a comment on our Facebook, or send us an email through our website, resistanceradio.net, or leave a comment on this post when it goes up on hypeable.com. We've gotten a lot of emails this past week also, but we're not going to talk about them today because there's just so much to get through. But today's episode is brought to you by audible.com. Get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/resistanceradio. With over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player, get the latest Star Wars audiobook for free, including the new Thrawn book, which is amazing. Honestly, I can't say enough of great things about this because we're going to do a special episode with Thrawn in about 2 weeks, I think.
Yeah, I think the plan is for about two weeks' time.
We have to read another book?
Oh my gosh, Ben. Ben, you can go to audibletrial.com/resistanceradio and download the Thrawn book audiobook. Now, I will tell you this. So there's two people in my work who got the Thrawn book based on what I said. I said, just download the audiobook. And they're like, oh my gosh, this is so good. Like, the audiobook is amazing. Like, I've got the Kindle version, so my wife and I can both read on our Kindles. And I was about probably 25% in. And then I said, you know what? I'm just going to get the audiobook also. And the nice part with Kindle and Audible is they sync. Like the whisper sync, and I started listening to it. I'm like, oh, nope, I'm going to start over. So I started listening to it all over again as an audiobook because the person they have doing the voice of Thrawn gives me chills. Like, it's scary good. So definitely, if you don't have Audible, check it out. You know, even if you don't want to use the free trial, whatever, just get this audiobook. It's amazing.
I will say, if you have been interested in Thrawn just as a character in general, and you really liked the trilogy of Thrawn books that came in
Rebels.
What is now Legends. Yeah. I'm thinking specifically about the books rather than the Rebels stuff. So the thing about the trilogy of books that we got that in what is now considered Legends is that while it did have quite a lot of Thrawn in it, it wasn't necessarily solely about Thrawn. You had a lot of other characters involved in there. Whereas I think the Thrawn book this time really digs into the character. Like, he is the main focus.
Whereas, oh my gosh.
Whereas the Legends books, the trilogy of Thrawn books there, you know, you went between Thrawn and Mara Jade and you had Luke and you had loads of other characters in there. And that was fine because it worked for what it was. But this, if you are interested in, like, digging into Thrawn and I guess understanding more about what makes him tick in Rebels as well. Like, this book is amazing for that. It just adds so much more to the character. And Timothy Zahn coming back with this book, like, I love his writing, and I think he's incredible. And I was still a little bit like, oh, I wonder what it's going to be like coming back to a character that he wrote so many years ago, but he has to take a different spin on it now. From how he established that character years and years and years ago, I shouldn't have even had, like, a kernel of doubt
in
that.
No, not at all. It's amazing.
He came back with a bang. And this time, Mikey's overt praise is warranted.
So here's the thing, Danya. I'm gonna lay this out there for everyone to hear. For the longest time, I had said Bloodlines or Lost Stars was definitely one of my favorite Star Wars novels in the new canon. I think Thrawn has quickly displaced it completely. Like, I mean, like, yeah, Thrawn is so good. Like, it is that good. Like, if you are a Star Wars fan and you have an inkling that you kind of wanted to know who Thrawn is and in the Star Wars universe, or you've seen Rebels and you're kind of intrigued by him, this book is phenomenal. It's amazing. I cannot say enough good things about it. So good that as it came out, our friend Evan, who's on the show very often, but he's also the host of the JodoCast, he's like, we need to do a special Thrawn episode. And I'm like, joint episode? So we will be doing a special episode with them on Thrawn in a couple weeks. So definitely get a chance to listen to it, read it. It's amazing. And yes, Ben, you have to read another book.
But it's one book instead of three books in a two.
So here's the thing. I read Aftermath and then wasn't on the episode.
Well, but Aftermath was still good. It was great. Anyway, you can still support the Resistance and us. We just launched our Patreon. You can check that out at resistanceradio.net/Patreon. We have some amazing perks, including Discord chat, our recording studio, so you can join us live for all our wonderful outtakes that we don't necessarily always release, which I think I'm going to start releasing for Patreon listeners only. Nice. We're currently having a poll for our first movie night where you'll be able to watch the movie with us. I think The Phantom Menace is winning, which I'm okay with starting with The Phantom Menace.
There's lots of sand. We're not going
machete order.
Because it's Wizard. Come on. It's Wizard. It's The Phantom Menace. You know, pod racing.
So, as an aside, seeing as you mentioned sand and The Phantom Menace, obviously Hayden Christensen was at Celebration Orlando. Did you see some of the photo ops that people took with him? Where they took
it's kind of amazing, like
jars of sand and got him to sign like jars of sand.
That's awesome.
Because he hates sand. It gets everywhere. It's coarse. Ugh. Anyway. And we will be planning our first After Dark episode, especially with Thrawn coming out. Maybe discussing some of the old Thrawn Legends stuff and Mara Jade. So definitely check that out at resistanceradio.net/Patreon. Also, we have t-shirts and buttons available also on our website. So make sure you get one of those to celebrate, you know, walking around Star Wars, supporting Resistance Radio. Anyway, on to our spotlight topic and all of the wonderful news that we have this week. The first bit of news that kind of dropped, which was actually something I was super excited about, was that Star Wars Force for Change celebrates 40 years with a very special fundraising event with some amazing prizes. And the video that accompanies this when they announced it is amazing between, you know, Mark and Daisy. If you guys haven't seen it, you need to. There's three prizes, one prize for each week. The first prize is a red carpet visit to the Last Jedi. So you'll be on the red carpet, get to meet and greet with the cast and crew, which is pretty awesome. You get to see it first before everybody else, and you get to meet Daisy and John and Mark Hamill and everybody there. So that'd be kind of cool. Next one is a visit to Skywalker Ranch, which I think plays very well into the video between Mark and Daisy. And Daisy even said you can invite her to be your special guest to go to Skywalker Ranch. And at Skywalker Ranch, you'll get to see a private screening of Star Wars A New Hope.
They haven't
said that, but you know what? You're at Skywalker Ranch and in the private screening room, you know, where George is and stuff. And then the last one is a walk-on role to the Han Solo film. Get to be a little cameo in there. Come on. I might have to wear a cape and be like a Mikey version of Lando. Well, hello there, right? You know but I think these are great, and obviously these are all this is through Omaze and Force for Change, and it's a great charity, plus three absolutely amazing, you know, prizes. What do you guys think of these? Like, what? I don't know if I would be able to choose. One, all these prizes are amazing, but I don't know which prize, if you have to choose one, I would want to do, because they all sound awesome. What do you guys think?
I would probably want the tickets to the red carpet of the Last Jedi.
I agree.
Okay.
I would have gone with the Skywalker Ranch.
Yeah, Skywalker Ranch.
Yeah.
Like,
because also
to see
Daisy Ridley's included in that one, right?
Well, no, she's not. So here's thing is, apparently, at least according to the video, included in that run, right? So, here's the thing. I'm sure I know what you mean. Anyway, so the Skywalker Ranch one, if you haven't seen the video, there is an announcement video where it's between Mark and Daisy, and Mark talks about how much he loves Skywalker Ranch, how he used to visit all the time, and all the really cool things that are there exclusive to Skywalker Ranch. You know, props from the original film, props from the new film and the prequels and everything that are exclusive there at Skywalker Ranch. They're nowhere else. So one-of-a-kind things you'll get a chance to actually see. And how each room at Skywalker Ranch is themed around something in Star Wars. So you might stay, in the carbonite freezing chamber.
Room?
I don't know. That's really bad. That's a bad Mikey joke. That's even bad for me,
Ben. But then you walk in and be like, I hate this room.
It's coarse and gets everywhere.
I know.
Oh, man. No. Yeah. Awesome. But anyway, so the joke is that Daisy has never been to Skywalker Ranch. And I don't know if she actually has or not. You know, have you seen the video? Gotta watch the video, Ben. Like, I put the news in here for a reason.
I watched a lot of videos in the past few days.
So Daisy hasn't been. But she said you could remind me. And then, of course, the last one is the walk on roll to Han Solo. And I'm sorry, if I had to choose one, either the Skywalker Ranch or the walk on roll to Han Solo film. Just because, like, you can then say you were actually in a Star Wars movie. And you may or may not walk away with the costume, even if they don't want you to. Like,
yeah, I mean, you could say that you're in a Star Wars film, but is that really the Star Wars film that you want to be in?
Right.
Yeah, how many Star Wars films have you been in, Danya? Yeah, that's
a point. I mean, they do put out calls for extras every now and again, and I've been contemplating doing it. So I might actually do it for...
We've still got another episode to go. So if we're
I'm thinking of doing that. I'm actually thinking of doing it.
Can I be like a screaming, running away citizen of this planet or something? Well, I don't know.
Yeah, they put the call out.
I would love to scream and run on camera as an extra. Yeah.
Yeah. The Pinewood Studios is not that far away from where I live, so that's like about an hour away.
Danya, do you have a spare bedroom?
I do not, but if you don't mind cuddling, then you can come and stay.
I'm sure we can cuddle.
So this episode took a turn. Wah, wah.
All right. Anyway, also at Celebration was a video that I don't want to skip over it at all. Like, I want to spend the time talking about it. But I will say it did make me it brought tears to my eyes. The first time I saw it, because I actually got to watch it live while I was on my lunch break when it came up. But the Celebration tribute to Carrie Fisher. Let me start with this first, and then I'll let you take over, Danya, Caitlin. Here's the thing, is I knew there was going to be a tribute. I was prepared for a tribute for Carrie Fisher. I wasn't prepared for this, I'll be honest. Like, I was brought to tears while watching it. Even the Last Jedi trailer, when you see her, you know, when she talks about the light, I'm just like, oh my god, like, it's Carrie. I was cringing and sad, and tears were crying down my cheek. It was amazing. So this tribute, I think, could be no better. It was absolutely beautifully and well done. Okay,
Something I loved about it was just like the pairing of certain clips from different movies. Like, they put the I Love You, I Know moments together, which I thought was really, really nice.
And just even, like, clips of her original scenes in, like, the original trilogy, and then years later, her reciting the same scenes because she...
Multiple times,
because she remembers every single line of dialogue that she had. And that just... So I didn't get a chance to watch this live, but Mikey, Caitlin, and I were hanging around in the recording studio before we started recording, and I was like, oh, well, I've got some time now. I can watch it now, because it's Easter weekend, and I've been home with family, and I've had some misadventures with computers and stuff like that, so it's been interesting, to say the least. By which I mean my actual computer is 200 miles away. I am using one that I use in my day job right now. So that's been interesting.
Are you using your work computer for personal?
I am, yes, but I am allowed to do that.
Okay.
Yeah, it's fine. I wouldn't do it if I wasn't allowed to do it.
So. No judging, Mikey.
Yeah.
I'm giving her a hard time.
Right. I know you are. But yeah, so Mikey and Caitlin got to listen to me crying, so so if you show up to the stream early sometimes, you might hear me crying, like, having a meltdown over hockey. You might hear me going crazy about the fact that I left my computer 200 miles away. You know, this is all the quality content that you get if you come into the Discord chat recording studio before we start officially recording. Sometimes I just hang out in there and have breakdowns quite regularly.
So, that's our entertainment.
Yeah. So Mikey and Caitlin got to listen to me cry, so that's entertainment.
Yeah, and who doesn't want to hear that? But you know, but back to Carrie Fisher and this tribute.
Yeah.
It really was amazing just seeing all the footage from years past, current, and even stuff that, you know, with her daughter and just interacting with the fans and stuff was really amazing. I will say the final picture at the end, where it's just the, you know, it's just her in the kind of the, you know, the known Princess Leia with the buns and when I say buns, you know, the hair buns, not anything else.
Oh my!
You know, I have to say it because you guys think some weird things. You guys have said it before, but
you could just like,
with the light behind her
and all together and say the donut hair, and that way we know what you're talking about.
The cinnamon roll hair, donut hair, sure. But yeah, like with the light coming from behind it, like I think that picture is just absolutely the perfect one for this. Like it's become my desktop background because it's such a good ending to the tribute. But also, you know, just to kind of talk about this was part of this tribute was part of the 40 years of Star Wars panel. So that's what kind of led into that, which is our next bit of news to talk about. Or it's in the wrong order, but it will be our next bit of news to talk about. And Bailey Lord, you know, Carrie's daughter came out to recite the speech of Help Me Obi-Wan Kenobi to kind of introduce it. And at the end, John Williams and the Orlando Philharmonic Orchestra played Leia's theme at the end, which I think was just like, not only do we have this video that all of us can experience, but just as a live thing to have her daughter there recite the most iconic line for her, and then the music that is her theme. How cool is that? Just having your own theme music,
I'm
but like having
chills
her
just
theme.
Remembering it.
Yeah, and seeing it, like, that was just, it was just beyond beautiful. Did you guys get a chance to see the orchestra and everything also?
Yeah.
I have not. I will definitely be doing a lot of catching up when I get back to Basingstoke tomorrow, so I drive back late Monday. So, a lot of the stuff, the only panel that I got to watch in its entirety was the Last Jedi panel. Mm-hmm. Other stuff that I've seen in bits and pieces, so little clips that I could watch on my phone. So it's been interesting following the news, because most of the stuff that I followed has either been in full text version. So this was something that I knew had happened, just haven't had the opportunity to experience it yet. But you know, I can give you all a heads up and jump in the recording studio on Discord at some point, and then you can all. You can all come listen to me cry over that as well if you want to.
But we did, Star Wars Celebration did start off with an amazing panel, the 40 years of Star Wars panel, which started off with none other than Kathleen Kennedy coming out and thanking the fans for being there. And he got to introduce a special guest that was not slated anywhere, none other than Mr. George Lucas himself, who received a ridiculous... crowds, you know, standing ovation, chanting Lucas, Lucas, Lucas over and over again, because he is the man, the creator, you know, in Anthony Daniels' C-3PO. Thank the maker, you know, definitely he came out. George Lucas got to reflect on creating the, or you know, creating the origins of Star Wars, which we've all talked about. You know, it's kind of been a film that he wanted for kids, like a Saturday morning cereal. Which is why there's a bunch of different, not cereal that you eat, but, you know, a cereal series like a Buck Rogers and stuff like that.
I mean, there is Star Wars cereal that you can eat now, so...
You can't repel flavor of this magnitude!
That's right.
Admiral Ackbar. Admiral Ackbar. Anyway, but yeah, so it was a really cool panel to watch. Liam Neeson even had a video message talking about how honored he was to play Qui-Gon Jinn, especially since there's been a lot of different things. But he came from the set of the new Jar Jar Binks movie. What do you guys think about that?
Right, I'm ready.
Spoiler, he went to... No. Yeah, that was a bad joke. Well, not by me, but it was by Liam Neeson, so, you know, spoiler... Jar Jar Binks went to the dark side. But we also got to see Hayden Christensen and Ian McDiarmid take the stage together, you know, as the Sith. But yeah, what do you guys think about? I know you haven't had a chance to see it all, Danya. But what do you guys think about this panel? We just had everybody from all the years, the different things of Star Wars.
I thought it was interesting how Hayden Christensen showed up since the first time, since like 02 or something like that. I'm thinking, like, what does this mean? Are we getting a Force ghost?
I don't know about that. Seeing Hayden Christensen back, like, one, my first question was like, how did he not age? Like, he still looks.
he still
looks super young. And I'm like, man, maybe he does have, you know, the Sith powers, you know, Darth Plagueis the Wise.
Clearly, Ian McDermott doesn't have the Sith powers because he looks a little older.
Yeah.
A lot older.
Still looks older than Senator Palpatine, younger than Emperor Palpatine, so.
Yeah.
Maybe it's thickening water.
Maybe. But Sam Jackson also sent in a video greeting saying that, you know, Mace Windu is not dead, you know, because George said so. So he says he hopes to see everyone on screen. We had Billy Dee and Anthony Daniels and Warwick Davis and Peter Mayhew's all come out talking about their characters and what made them themselves. And of course, Mark Hamill was there too, along with Harrison Ford, who is also not slated. So. This is
such a surprising appearance. Harrison Ford was the surprising one for me.
Yeah, George didn't surprise me. He's shown up at quite a few different celebrations. And it's always been like a big thing when he shows up, but it was definitely surprising. But Harrison Ford is one that I would not have expected, but he showed up and talked at a couple different panels. He obviously talked at the Star Wars 40 Years one.
Yeah, Harrison Ford after, you know, kind of piecing out, you know, and saying, like, okay, I'm done. You know, I feel like maybe he would just be, like, done, like, completely, as in not go to conventions anymore. So that's kind of cool that he's still willing to do that.
Well, I think it also has to do with, like, the relationships he's formed with, you know, Daisy and John and everyone. So,
yeah, that's
like,
true.
Being able to see them and, you know, spend a day or something just talking to him and seeing him again and seeing Mark again.
I want
to
know, like, had I been there, which bar they were all at. Like,
you know, what's funny is, like, they were all, like, you know, the joke in the Last Jedi panel was that, you know, all these people were hanging out with all of them at the after parties at Celebration. Like, so, who was it? Was it, Josh Gad was out to, like, 4 a.m. before he did the Last Jedi panel with the fans that were there. Like, the 501st members and all at the after party, so... It's definitely one of those things. They're all hanging out, just talking to people, just, you know, remembering things. But of course, Billie Lourd came out. They did the tribute to, you know, she read her thing, the Princess Leia thing. We saw the tribute, and then John Williams came out, and the Orlando Orchestra performed Princess Leia's theme, which this panel was probably the most amazing panel to start off Star Wars Celebration, because it set the bar so high. And there's been so many panels after it that I think totally kind of, you know, was up there with it, including The Last Jedi and Rebels, which we'll talk more about in just a second. Anything else about the 40th panel, guys, that you guys want to discuss?
No, I just thought, like, from the little highlights that I've seen of it, it just seemed like a really nice celebration of, I guess, 40 years of Star Wars, because they had so many different people from different points within the Star Wars universe, and I just thought it was a nice little way to pay tribute to 40 years of this franchise. And it was nice to see, I guess, not unexpected people in respect to, like, George Lucas, but it was nice to see him getting involved in something so heavily Disney after selling everything off. Because it's not unprecedented to see him at a Star Wars celebration, but I think it was, less likely that he would do it now that it's in Disney's hands. So it was cool to see him there to celebrate 40 years of it. And then, obviously, like, Harrison Ford as well, who I loved, like, they kept chirping Harrison Ford over the fact that he can fly really well, but he just hasn't got landing down yet. So that was really entertaining to me when they kept just, like, ribbing him about that. I thought that was quite funny. But yeah, it was just, they all seemed so comfortable with each other and, like, joking with each other. And I think it just reinforces this idea that a lot of the time these sets are huge families, because that's just how through everything, so...
Yeah. No, and that's what it is. Like, these people have our families, is what it really comes down to. Like, you know, they've spent a ridiculous amount of time together, you know, doing conventions, doing the films, doing premieres, doing press for it, and so... their family, and it shows in their interactions with their fans. The next bit of news that I do want to talk about is probably some of my favorite news that have come out, and it might be also because I am expecting a daughter myself soon, is that we will have a new animated micro-series called Star Wars Forces of Destiny that will focus on our heroines, Rey, Ahsoka, Jyn, Princess Leia, Sabine Wren, and Hera, which is just absolutely awesome. In addition to these two volumes, if you will, there'll also be traditional dolls. So instead of traditional dolls like Barbie, if you will, and I never had a Barbie myself, maybe Donnie or Caitlin or Ben can tell me more about Barbies in general. I don't know. But these dolls that are coming... hey, I don't know. Anyone can have a Barbie. I'm not saying
we're not
someone
judging.
Can't. I'm not judging anyone, so I don't know if you did. So I'm not saying, like, you can't. I just don't. Maybe you had sisters. I don't know. I only had brothers. But these dolls look amazing to me because they're like the traditional Barbie dolls where they have the hair and everything. And even there's a Chewbacca. All right. Action figures don't have hair, okay?
Wait,
like, they don't have,
is
like...
Is it called Chew Barbie?
Oh, God. See, like, I need to have these bad jokes, Ben. Not you. Okay. Jeez. No, not you,
now
Barbie.
Now he has become the master.
The master. Exactly. No, but yes. But yeah, so these dolls are going to be full-size, 11-inch scale. And they do have the bigger, you know, the hair and everything with the clothes and everything. You can adjust and change with them. But the cool part is they're kind of a mix of an action figure, too, where they're fully posable. So, like, you can have Rey kick some, you know, something if you wanted to. I don't know. I don't know how to play with dolls. I'm sorry. I had action figures, and that's what I did. Like,
did you not have, like, was Action Man not a thing for you guys? Like,
no.
Was that a chiefly British thing?
No, I had my Revenge of the Sith action figures.
Yeah,
as well as Power Ranger action figures. Those were that's
Power
what
Ranger
I played
so
with.
Good.
Ninja Turtles.
Yeah, Ninja Turtles. Come on, I was Mikey.
Yeah, they
Michael
were legit.
Angelo.
Yeah,
they were good, and they had like the kung fu like chop action and stuff like that. And like I remember specifically like my Michelangelo, his top torso spun so he can swing his nunchuck around, even though it was like a really tiny like you know plastic nunchuck with like two or three links, so it barely moved. But still, it was really cool. So like dolls, I never really played with, but I'm excited because I don't have to do, like, the Barbie doll with my daughter. I can have, like, Star Wars dolls,
I mean,
which I'll probably play with as much as
now, her. Now, in fairness to this terrible rep that Barbie apparently seems to have among guys, is that Barbie dolls actually aren't this specifically fashion-based doll. They always reinforce this idea that you could be anything. So Barbie dolls that I had were like, they had different professions. I had like a pilot, I had a doctor, I had like loads of different dolls. So, you know, this idea that Barbie is like this stereotypical female fashion doll thing is completely antiquated. Like,
well,
I don't know where that's
sure.
come from.
And they have movable joints, so they could do the same thing.
Yeah, they could. Yeah. So you could pose them, you could move them around. Like, a lot of mine, I made, like, superheroes. Like, so there was that whole idea. So, you know, that's always been a thing. The dolls that these actually put me in mind of was the very recent DC Superhero Girls series. I don't know if you've seen that around. It's actually pretty good. The episodes are quite short, but they've got a whole line of dolls and toys off the back of that, and it put me a lot in mind of the style of doll that they've done for those as well. And I really, really like them. I think they've got a really cool style to them. I like the accessories. The quality looks really good from the images that they've released. The one thing I will say about like the stills that they released initially for this series is the still that they released for Jyn. The lighting on it is so odd that her hair came out very, very, very red. So initially I thought, oh my god, are they bringing Mara Jade into this series? Like, what? until I clicked through and realized that that's Jin. And then I thought, oh, maybe they're actually changing hair colors for some of them, because how are you supposed to differentiate between all of the different brunettes in a cartoon cartoon form? That was disappointing to me. I was like, oh, Mara Jin. Oh, it's Jin. Aww.
Yeah.
Well, I thought. But no, just in general, I think this is really cool. Because they've caught so much flack over the fact that they didn't focus their merchandising or anything at girls who make up like a significant part of their fan base and the people who actually go and see Star Wars. So the fact that they weren't aiming it at that audience because they had this outdated idea of who was, you know, watching the films and basically looking at the content that they were creating. They caught a lot of flack over the fact that they just did not bother merchandising anything to do with, like, their main character. Rey is arguably...
Hashtag where's Rey?
Yeah, so the fact that they've addressed that now by doing a series that focuses on some of the incredible women in the Star Wars universe that perhaps don't get as much... Now, as much of the spotlight put on them in respect to, like, I could go out to a Toys R Us, or I could go out to any other British toy store right now, and guaranteed I would find a Kanan, I'd find an Ezra, I'd find Luke, I'd find Han. I could find any number of, like, characters who are male across Star Wars the movies and Star Wars Rebels. Now, if I tried to find Rey, Hera, Ahsoka, Sabine, anyone like that, I wouldn't find them. In fact, I'd be hard-pressed to find Leia. Maybe. If I'm lucky. Usually she's in... the Leia that is quite common over here to find in merchandise is usually in a two-pack with Luke.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, so she doesn't come on her own.
The Forces of Destiny toys are not going to be just heroines. Also, there's BB-8, R2-D2... And villains such as Kylo Ren are also going to be on their way, along with Chewbacca that they've already announced. So
yeah,
it's not going to be just the heroines.
No, BB-8 is going to be packaged with Rey. R2 is going to be packaged in with Leia.
Mm-hmm.
So they come in a pack together as like being those droids. Chewbacca is on his own in a pack. But I saw that there were other ones. But I love that the majority of them that they're pushing are, it's skewing heavily female, which is the complete opposite of what they usually do. Like, I don't dispute the fact that they should be releasing other characters within this. I think it's still good. I love the style of figure that they've got. I just like that they flipped it for this particular range, where they're skewing heavily female rather than heavily male, which they have for pretty much every other toy line that they've done.
Mm-hmm. I'll agree with you on that 100%. But I do want to move on just because we have a lot of news to still cover.
That's fine.
Including, we started to get some of the Journey to Star Wars, The Last Jedi information, which is all the books and comics and everything that's led up to it. One particularly that stands out that I want to make sure we reveal and talk a little bit about is a new Marvel series called Captain Phasma. I'm really, really excited about a Captain Phasma comic series. One, she was a character that I was really excited for Force Awakens, and I was a little disappointed with in Force Awakens because I don't feel like they utilized Captain Phasma as much as they could have. But just looking at the Captain Phasma cover for the first comic makes me get so excited again. Like, she looks so badass. What do you guys think? What do you guys think about this Captain Phasma comic coming out?
Right, okay, one, really excited because it's Captain
Phasma. Four issues of Captain Phasma, like, come on.
Yeah. Well, the biggest thing that excites me about this, not only is it about Captain Phasma, a character that I was expecting that we would learn more about in The Force Awakens, but didn't. Like, she was very sparsely used for as much as she was pushed in the marketing. Now, it's exciting that we're going to get something that kind of bridges The Force Awakens and The Last Jedi and tells a story about her, maybe giving us a little bit more background on her. The part for me that's the most exciting about this is the writer, Kelly Thompson.
Yes.
Kelly Thompson is incredible, and I am so, so excited that she's going to be heading this up. So, yeah, I love that it's her. So, that's exciting for me.
Well, and also Marco, what is it, Marco Chieto is working on this also?
Yes.
I'd say Chichetto.
Chichetto, yeah.
Sorry, I'm bad with names. I always have been.
Maybe.
Yeah. So I'm really, he's also working on, he worked on things like the Shattered Empire, which I'm going to bring up Shattered Empire when we talk about a little bit about the Last Jedi trailer. Because there's something in the Shattered Empire, specifically the very end of it, that makes me think of something we see in The Last Jedi. Don, you can guess what I think it is? No? Okay, we'll get to it in a minute.
Why don't we wait?
I know. We'll talk about it. the next bit of news I want to cover before we get into the trailers and the big panels that everyone knows we talked about is Star Wars Land news. So, Star Wars Land, there's a link in our document, if you have access to it, take a look at it, with a video to Disney Parks Imagineers and Lucasfilm collaborating on Star Wars Land. The video itself, just hearing the Imagineers build this, and someone like Doug Chang talking about how you're actually going to be in Star Wars and walk through it, and just like feel like it. It gave me chills. Like I'm just, right now, I have just like the dumbest grin on my face because I'm excited because I'm going to be in Star Wars. This is some of the biggest things Disney has ever taken on to go ahead and have this type of park here with Star Wars Land. And they have talked about VR and they've built some full-size AT-ATs that they're working on. What do you guys think about the news we've gotten about this peek into Star Wars Land that's coming in 2019?
Like my favorite part of the news is the fact that they're not building like a specific scene from any of the movies. They're like building a Star Wars themed land. Yeah, like
it's a new story. Like, it's a new story. Yeah, exactly. That we're like experience, you know how
we have. So we have like at Universal, like you go to what Diagon Alley and Hogsmeade and stuff. Like those exist within the universe of Harry Potter and the movies, and they look like they're from the movies and all that stuff. So the fact that they're taking the initiative to create something brand new, so that's this unique experience for if you're visiting. I think is a really good idea.
You know, and I'll tell you this, something that really gets me is the fact that they talked about how the park itself is going to have its own story. And that's probably one of my biggest criticisms of the Harry Potter Land. And I'm a huge Harry Potter fan. Like I have, you know, I grew up with Harry Potter. I used to be on MuggleCast. And I love Harry Potter, but the biggest criticism, like the main Harry Potter attraction in the Harry Potter Land is, it's this kind of slap two story that doesn't really make sense. It's a really cool ride. Like there's the dragon and everything, but you're like, oh, we're going to sneak down to the Quidditch pitch and you're going to fly. Like it's really like it's forced, if that makes sense. Whereas this, it looks like they're actually trying to build, like you're going to ride on the Millennium Falcon. There's going to be something that happens. There's VR. You're going to be immersed to it. Like there's a story
forced in a different way.
Yeah.
But it's going to be one of those things where, like, they said specifically, this is not going to be, like, a place that you know, but it's going to be uniquely Star Wars. Like, you're going to know it's Star Wars, but it's going to be someplace you've never been before. And this is how you're going to experience it, which really makes me excited.
Weren't they talking about something? I can't remember if it was on the panel itself, but I saw people discussing it later. So someone correct me if I'm wrong. But isn't there something that they were discussing that things that you do while you are in Star Wars Land has an effect when you move to other places? So, like, I think the example that I saw someone throw up is, like, if you scratch the Millennium Falcon, that'll have, like, an effect on, like, other stuff later on.
Yeah, here's the thing,
back into the park.
I saw some of the stuff they're talking about, but I think this is also tying into some of the Disney things with the characters. Like, if you meet Chewbacca or Kylo Ren in Star Wars Land, because it's tied to like your magic band, your magic bracelet,
yeah,
and they learn your name on when you meet them somewhere else in the park, they can say like, oh, I saw you escape the whatever, like the line queue that you were on. So I think that's what it's related to. Obviously we're still a ways off from the land opening, so we can't really see how it works. But I'm pretty sure that's how that's going to work. So I don't know if it's like scratching, but more if you rode the Millennium Falcon ride, you know, when you go to queue up for Star Tours, which is in a different area, it's still a Star Wars ride. You know,
I guess
the chaos might be like, oh, you just got, now you're going to go to the Endor Moon because you just landed from Takudana, you know, from the Millennium Falcon. Like, I can see it being something like that. Like, they'll know did that.
I guess it depends entirely on how unique the ride is to each person. Like, how much variation there can be within it, within the Millennium Falcon ride. If certain bits of information get stored on your magic band, then that could, it could feasibly work in that way. If there's like certain parameters of like choices that you can make within the ride that affect it. So you may have the same experience as someone else, but it may not be the same experience as the next person riding, depending on the choices that you make. But there's like finite choices that can be made. Wouldn't that be interesting if they could do that?
Yeah.
I would love that.
That would be interesting if they could do something like that intense per person.
Well, I don't think it would be completely unique per person. I would guess that it would be like a multiple choice thing. So, like, you would have four different choices of what you do. And depending on which path you take, it would give you like a specific outcome, and there would be like what, four final outcomes to the ride. Like, I don't think that would be completely out of the realm of possibility.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me, because like, have any of you ridden the new redone Star Tours from when they took out Pee-wee Herman as the pilot droid?
No.
Okay, so the latest one, there's was it four scenarios? They actually updated it since Jakku came out. So it used to be three. There's three sections that the Star Tours ride goes through. And what happens is it's completely randomized. So each time you ride it, it theoretically could be different. So I'm doing the math right now because they added Jakku in. There's a total of 36 different versions of the ride that you can do. Because, you know, you can start off with either Darth Vader, or you can start off with a Stormtrooper, you can start off with Boba Fett, and then it goes into, you know, you going into either going to to Hoth, where there's the battle there, you can go to the Tatooine for a pod race event, you can go to Kashyyyk, or go to Jakku, so like, and then it goes to something else, so each time it can be something different to tell this story. So 36 different times, which is really interesting. So the ride would theoretically be different every time you go on it.
So the line is this, for stop.
Yeah. So I'm almost wondering if you know, that will end up happening with like the Millennium Falcon ride, where there's going to be enough variation to make it be like, you know, 100 different versions of it. Because again, with the Star Tours ride, you know, it's the same. The funny part is it's the same movements through all of them. So the animatronic part you're moving is the same, but it's what's on screen and what you're interacting with is different. But like I said, there's, you know, an intro, a middle, and an end, and there's 3, 4, and 3. So that's 36 different versions if you just multiply them all together, if you're trying to do them all. So it's pretty cool, and I feel like this is how that's going to be. Is like, depending on what versions you get, it might interact with something else later on. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that definitely makes sense.
So, but yeah, definitely, yes, choose your own adventure kind of ride type thing, but I think it's just randomized. You won't get a chance to choose it. But yeah, so definitely Star Wars Land, super excited, 2019, along with, you know, episode, you know, 9. We'll see what that's called. Awakes from his nap. Anyway, on to Star Wars Rebels Season 4 panel, or Star Wars Rebels panel, if you will. And sure enough, we saw a trailer for season 4. I told you we'd see one. Yeah. This is the last season. This is the last season of Star Wars Rebels, season 4. And I am fully prepared for nothing but heartbreak in this season.
Yeah.
Some big things that we saw in this, before we talk about the trailer, is Hera's chilling narration seems very ominous. And it's like, I never imagined it would end like this. Just completely sets the stage of what that entire season is going to be. But it's okay because it goes into my favorite ship. We get to see X-Wings and Rebels for the first time. Like, what do you guys... Like, honestly, it's X... Like, come on, it's the X-Wing Starfighter. Like, it's the best... I'm so excited to see X-Wings on Rebels. We see Hera in her, you know, in a different outfit. So I don't know if she's in an X-Wing. It looks like it.
It looks like she's piloting something. Yeah, she's piloting
It could be an A-Wing, it could be a B-Wing, because she's flown all of them, but it could also be an X-Wing, which I'm really excited if it is. We also see Sabine and her Darksaber skills come a long way. She totally thrashes that a Scout Trooper, which makes me a little sad, because I love Scout Troopers, but she just totally is awesome with her Scout Trooper there. Kallus totally has changed. He's a little bit more relaxed. We'll talk about him in a second when we get to the trailer.
All I could say is he's looking mighty fine for an animated character. Like,
you like those loose locks and the mutton chops that you got there?
I'm into it, I will admit.
Yeah, people are agreeing. All right. You know what's really funny is I feel like Kallus, the character he turns into, he kind of reminds me of like a Dash Rendar from like the legends of old, like from Shadows of the Empire.
Yeah.
And like kind of like that swagger, like not a Han Solo. Like, he turned from proper Imperial officer to, you know, the rebel life has kind of made him relax a little bit. And the mutton chops come out, the hair, you know, like I'm cool with Kallus. I feel like we can be friends. We get some familiar faces from even Star Wars and Clone Wars, like Bo-Katan has come out, as well as the wolf that Kanan and Ezra ride. I feel is just like pure Dave Filoni, you know, Filoniness, if you will.
Filoni has been pretty obsessed with wolves for like as long as I can remember. Like, if I remember correctly, there was some art for the Topps trading cards that Filoni did. Yeah. That had, it was Ahsoka in the middle, and the border around the outside of the trading card is a border of wolves, like white wolves, all the way around.
Well, and
the
even
outside.
I've seen Ahsoka riding on like, or with like wolf pups and stuff like that too. So,
That's original concept art, isn't it? I'm pretty sure that was some original concept art for the show. So
for Ahsoka for the Clone Wars.
Yeah, which kind of makes me think, like, is there a connection between Ahsoka and this wolf? Like, that would be... Because they trolled during this panel so hard. Or Filoni trolled pretty hard during this panel. For anyone who didn't see it, he came out in a t-shirt, a black t-shirt with white writing on it, that said, "Ahsoka lives?" And after the trailer had aired, I'm pretty sure it was after the trailer had aired, he came back out with a t-shirt that said, "Ahsoka lives!" So, he's trolling. But, could it be? Could it be that there is a connection between Ahsoka and this wolf?
So, one other thing about the panel they did talk about is they also talked about the ghost and... just the coast and other things from Rebels make it into things like Rogue One, including one link I just posted in our chat, guys, along with a picture. Specifically, the reason I bring it up is the model from of the ghost that was used in, obviously, Clone Wars anime series to the model that's used in Rogue One. None other than Jay, who was on our show a couple weeks ago, he is the one who actually did that model. So he's like, "Oh, I totally forgot I did that." And yeah, they're talking about it in this article. So definitely, it kind of came full circle to see Rebels be where it's at now. And like I said, I'm so excited for this this trailer that I want to talk about a little bit. But season 4, man, it seems like it's going to be nothing but heartbreak.
It is.
I'm
really upset that it's ending. In one respect. I mean in one respect, because so I'm upset in regard that I've become so fond of this series now, and I love the characters and I love their story, but I fully respect the idea and prefer it when they choose a specific end point and stick to it. Like, that is the one thing that I have a huge amount of respect for when people create TV shows, is they know how they want the show to end, and once they get there, like, that's it. They don't feel the need to keep trying to push out stories. They've got a full arc that they want to see play out, and a finite endpoint. Like, I'm maybe not ready to let go of all of these characters completely, and I hope that maybe with some of them, we might see them in, like, the expanded universe in respect to, like, more comics or books or anything else that could feasibly come out. But yeah, I will say there's some comments in the chat now being like, I'm fully prepared for not everyone to make it out alive. I'm right there too. And I think I've said a few times, because I saw Mikey dropping a comment in here, like, I never thought that Ezra and Kanan would survive past the end of Rebels. And the reason for that being is that Luke is then this, like, he's like the rebirth of the Jedi, essentially, mm-hmm. In his roles. So I never assumed that any of the Jedi of the former Order that we met over the course of Rebels, unless they completely renounce the Jedi Order, which I doubt that they will, because they're so closely connected to it still. I just don't think that they will survive past the end of Rebels.
In terms of more content, I mean, we just finished talking about the micro series with Ahsoka, Sabine, and Hera.
Yes. Yeah. I don't know if that's going to be 100% canon, or if it's just going to be...
Or like, beforehand, as opposed to afterwards. But it's still more content with those characters.
Yeah, which is good. I'm just thinking more like actual canon content, because they haven't really said whether the content that's going to be in that miniseries is just going to be, like, if it's standalone, like, is it doesn't connect into the wider universe's extra stories. So I think what I would want is, like, full, in-depth, extended stories on some of these characters, because I love them so much.
Yeah, Rebel, like I said, this, I want to, next week we're going to do our analysis of the trailer, and I'm watching the trailer as we speak, and I don't want to, I feel like I can, but I'm not going to, because we want to keep each episode to about an hour or so, but I'm excited to see Thrawn back again at it, and I will say, I'm fully prepared for Night One to make it out alive, but I feel like Thrawn might make it out alive. I feel like some of the villains will make it out.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, I don't think that when it comes to it, like, they can't get rid of all of the villains, because it's naive to think that the villains that we meet in the original trilogy are, like, the only ones at all. Mm-hmm. The Empire is far-reaching and has such a death grip on the galaxy. You can't imagine that the ones that we meet on the Death Star are, like, the highest of the hierarchy. Yes, they are very connected to the Emperor, and they may be, like, his closest confidants and, like, the highest, like, on the highest rung. But considering that they have control of almost the entire galaxy, there has to be smaller pockets of admirals and grand admirals who operate around the rest of the galaxy. You know, the battles that we see in A New Hope and the original trilogy, like, those are very much centered on taking down the central government, I guess is probably the closest thing that we can say. So it's taking down, like, the figurehead of the Empire and those that represent it in, like, the highest order. But they're not the be-all and end-all of the Empire. So the idea that, like, none of the other smaller, like, officers and admirals and grand admirals would, like, not be there. Like, so, Governor Price and all of those as well. Like, I fully expect to see them make it out.
Yeah. And kind of see how important Lothal is in the scheme of all the things there. So, you know, again, this is just a spotlight of a small thing that is, you know, the Star Wars universe, which is, I think, why I love Rebels so much, because it is part of what we know. Is the, is, you know, it's Rebels, it's the part of the Rebellion, they're part of it, but it's a small cell of it. And we saw, obviously, yeah, more of that in Rogue One, and I fully expect to see more of this in books and comics and maybe future movies, too. So,
I mean, Filoni's also said, and I think he said it during the Rebels panel, that this isn't the end of the Star Wars animated universes, that there are plans for further animated series, just it's not Rebels. So, again, there is a very large chance that we might see a completely different Rebel cell or a different part of Star Wars universe is happening at the same time as everything else, which I love that. Like, all of these things are happening concurrently, which just widens the universe a little bit more.
Yeah, it just shows how big the universe is. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if they bring in, you know, they talked about, like, some of the other Rebel cells that, you know, the crew that Ghost have talked to in past interviews. But I'm excited to see what other animation, because we know they've been working on something. They just haven't announced it. And I'm wondering if any of these characters are going to make it in there, just like Ahsoka and Rex have made it from Clone Wars here. And we'll see.
I will throw it out there. I would absolutely love to see something to do with Mara Jade. Because I don't think that she needs to be connected to Luke to be a good character.
See, I think if they're going to... I wouldn't be surprised if they bring Mara Jade back, because she's such a fan favorite. But I feel like they're more likely to bring in some of the old, the old Jedi Knight stuff. That's the Old Republic, like someone like Revan or something like that as a story. Because they've kind of already alluded to him, and they've used some of that stuff. So... And the next part is they'd have full flexibility to see that, but I wouldn't be surprised if they did something where a Hera story continued. Because Hera is still there till we know at least the Battle Scarab. We don't know if she survived that or what's going on, but we know her and the Ghost survive. And it would be cool to see a new story with them kind of continue on. Not necessarily Rebels, though.
Yeah, I wonder how that would work, though. Like, assuming, for example, that, like, most of the crew of the Ghost don't make it out alive, or they separate, because that's what's... You can sort of see the seeds of it in Rebels currently, with, like, Sabine going back to her family and the Mandalorians, and you can see it, like, in other things. If they start splitting up and maybe some of them don't make it out alive, how would that change the tone? Because I know, like, Rebels has dealt with grief in really interesting ways, but I wonder how they would do it in respect to Hera potentially losing this family that she has had day in and day out for years.
Well, like, I feel
how would that affect her character, and how would you focus on that without having to also focus on that grief?
Speculation before we break down the trailer. I fully see, like, Zeb being around, and it'd be Hera, Zeb, and Chopper are the survivors. So you have, like, your Chewbacca character in Zeb, you have your Han Solo character in Hera, and you have, you know, the droid in Chopper and AP5. Like, I see them being able to do a story around that, and it'd be other things, just like an adventure story, including the Rebellion, you know, and them teaming up with other people or something like that. But we'll see what they end up doing. Like, we do know there's going to be more animation. We know Rebels is ending, and it's going to be... I put in the chat when people said, I'm fully prepared for people not to make them out alive. Ezra and Kanan equal dead. You know they're going to die. And it's really heartbreaking to see that. And there's even a line in the trailer where Kanan says, you know, we became Jedi for this moment. And it's really sad, because, you know, that might be the end of it. But moving on to a little panel that happened on Friday was none other than the Last Jedi panel, which was... You got something to say? You can say it.
No, keep going.
Okay, we had the Last Jedi panel, and it was really great. We got to meet a lot of people. He saw, you know, Daisy and John make it out to the panel. He saw Mr. Rain Johnson and Kathleen Kennedy there. Josh Gad was our host for the panel, which was pretty interesting. And BB-8 came out, and he talked about, unfortunately, having to have an NDA, so he couldn't talk about who the Last Jedi was. And we even had a... We didn't have Poe. We didn't have Oscar Isaacs because he was off doing something. I don't remember what they said it was.
He's filming on something at the moment. Oh, he might be in rehearsals for, I think it's Hamlet he's doing on Broadway. So
yeah.
He's probably off doing that at the moment. By the way, if you love Oscar Isaac and you have the ability to get to Broadway, go and check that out because he's on a limited run. And you will not be disappointed in seeing him in a stage show. So I will try and grab a link at some point, drop it in the Discord chat. But like, so good. Or is it? Yeah.
I will say we also got introduced to Kelly Marie Tran, who I think we talked about on the show like when it first broke, and we're like, it says she's a main character, but we don't know. She is. She is going to be a lead in episode 8.
Yes.
Known as a character. Known as Rose, which, you know, seeing the picture of her, I'm kind of like, I'm excited to see what she does as Rose. I know there was a joke or two in our private chat about Rose and Rey and Finn and Poe already. But anyway.
Space girlfriends. If we've got space boyfriends, I want space girlfriends as well. I'm joking. No, the original thing, when it was originally announced that she was going to be in the film, I only vaguely recognized her from some like web series stuff. So I went on like a really in-depth research sort of project on my own to see if I could find more information about her. When I did, I found her CV through her agent's website. And when you clicked on that and you scrolled all the way down, it had a bit where it credited Star Wars Episode 8, but it also credited her as a lead character. So she
that's what we talked
character.
About it, because I remember you did the research.
I went really hardcore on, like, I need to find out, like, what's going on with this. Because, you know, there's no point doing anything unless you obsess over it, apparently. So, so yeah, I went and I looked that up and I found that, and everyone's kind of been like, oh, I don't know, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, well, I found this information, so I'm pretty sure it's going to be true. Now it turns out, yeah, actually she is, according to Rian Johnson, like, she is the largest.
A huge part of it. Her and John Boyega, her and Finn, you know, and the cool part about this is she is an everybody person is what they said. You know, she's a mechanic. She doesn't want to be a hero. She doesn't want to be, she's just in the background. She almost reminds me of, you know, I don't know. Like I want
to
say,
well, they likened her to Luke. They likened her to Luke on the panel.
Like the anybody person. Well, she kind of reminds me of Jaina Solo a little bit, like the mechanically inclined, but is fully being thrust into become the Sword of the Jedi. Yeah. Again, that's a Legends conversation, but I totally, when I saw her and when they kind of described her, I'm like, oh, that's really cool. Like, so
I'm in love with her already. I want her to be my space wife.
I was just, she wasn't in the trailer and I was super sad about that.
Yeah,
I guess not in the trailer.
Yeah,
because I don't want to introduce a new character yet. You know, they already did that in the last one, sorry.
I understand why they did it, because they all, like, it's a teaser. They want us leaving more, and that was my problem with the trailer, is I just want more. Like, to be honest, I just want the entire movie, like, right now.
Doesn't that mean it succeeded, though?
Yes, exactly. Yes.
In teasing you, exactly. It became like, ooh, what is this?
The thing for me is really great about this is that we at least have now official confirmation, because they showed a screenshot of Rose as well, so we got our first look of what she's going to appear like in the film as well.
She looks awesome.
She does look awesome, but she is not an alien species, so she is now the first woman of color in a role where she is not covered up at all by being a different species. So this is officially the first lead woman of color in a Star Wars film who isn't playing an alien species. So she's playing her own race.
Okay. So she's that's a Maz Kanata.
Yeah, because then, but also a lead role. A lead role for a woman of color in a Star Wars film, because Lupita Nyong'o, while she is an incredible character as Maz, she was not a main character. So, completely different. So, it's great, especially considering the huge whitewashing problem that there has been within Hollywood recently when it comes to Asian roles specifically. Having someone like Kelly Marie Tran playing Rose, who is a visible Asian woman in a lead role in a huge franchise, that is a massive turning point. So I'm very, very happy and excited, and I already love her, and I want to protect her. So
like, I feel like she needs one of her own action figures too.
Yes, and I will buy all.
I'm sure she'll have one. I will say I'm also excited because it's the first female lead that doesn't have. She's not a brunette. She's got black hair.
She does. She does have black hair. That's quite
anyway,
exciting.
Also at the panel was none other than Mr. Mark Hamill too, who came out. Anyway, he was very insightful. You know, he talked about how he didn't want to ruin the film by being in it and doing it, but you know, it's Luke. How can Luke ruin it? But they did show after the panel was concluded, they did show the trailer, which we're going to talk a little bit about, and next week will be I have to make sure I don't want to go like 3 hours in for a trailer discussion.
So today's like opening statement.
I know it's like opening statement, but I do want to talk in depth. I do want to talk in depth, and I've posted into the Discord chat for you guys, and it's also on the link. This poster for The Last Jedi.
Yay! I was hoping you would have us talk about the poster.
First of all, like, is it one? It's very reminiscent to the original Star Wars trailer with Luke holding up his lightsaber and everything, and then obviously it's now reverse where it's, you know, Rey holding up the lightsaber, and it's got the same kind of the kind of light kind of cross type star pattern, if you will. That is part of the Jedi symbol too.
Yeah.
And then in the background, you see it's all red tinted, red and black, and you have Luke, and you have Ben. What do you guys think of this poster?
I thought it was very. The thing that interested most about this of everything is the fact that he's not wearing his helmet. And in fact, every look that we got of him from both the poster through to the trailer, he's not wearing his helmet in any.
We also see pieces of his helmet on the floor,
his
too.
His helmet's like smashed in a Dark Knight Rises kind of way.
Yeah, so that's...
Maybe Bane got a hold of him and was like, cut the crap. And then he smashes his helmet.
Or he had a temper tantrum and it slipped off and he cut it to pieces.
Yeah, so or for that. Me, that's like one of the most interesting parts is that does that mean that he's stepping into his own legacy rather than trying to relive Darth Vader's? Like, I'm very interested to see the direction that they're taking with this. But the other major thing that I really, really loved about this poster is just Rey herself, because it's so unusual, particularly on like a sci-fi poster as well, that the main female character of your poster isn't like in some kind of ridiculous pose that's overly sexualized, no matter what she's wearing. So just that it's very reminiscent of Luke's original pose from the original poster, and they've gone with that. Like,
she's so small.
She is. Yeah. But I feel like that
she's also the thing that catches your attention, though.
Yeah, so
I think, yeah.
Yeah. I'm not...
I think it's a balance of anything, if you want to kind of go that route. Like, it's definitely
She's still the main focus of that poster. Like, that whole thing
I like it a lot from the perspective of the fact that, you know, it was called Last Jedi, and we're like, oh yeah, Rey and Luke, but I like how they included Ben, and saying that, like, it's these three, rather than just the two of them. I don't know. I just thought that was really, really cool.
Well, and Luke looks super scary.
Yeah.
And Ben just looks like
Well, and, you know, it's interesting that you say Luke looks super scary and Ben looks like a creeper. It's interesting that they made them two different sizes.
Yeah.
When you look at the, you know, I pulled the poster up here and I'm cutting into thirds right now just so I can, you know, overanalyze it because that's what I do. But when you look at it, I know, Luke has, you know, you see his chin to his forehead, right? And it's definitely a full face, you know, like half, you know, profile, if you will. Whereas on the flip side, you have, you know, Ben, it comes from just above his lips to the top of his head. So he almost seems like he's pushed further back. He's behind Luke, you know, sneaking up behind him or something like that. So there's definitely got a different feeling to it. And they don't look, they're not symmetrical. Whereas like when you've seen things, you know, posters similar to this, where there's a line splitting them in half, you see like one side is, you know, the light, the one side is the dark or whatever. We even saw this in Return of the Jedi where Luke was standing in the shadow, you know, half his face is covered in darkness. The other is in the light when Vader's talking about Leia. But in this case, it's not symmetrical by any means. Like their noses are completely not matched up or anything. So it's completely two different perspectives of them.
Because Ben's kind of profile is smaller, there's a lot more kind of black behind him. So it's just suggesting the darker kind of side of things.
The dark.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that the lightsaber goes red as it goes upwards.
Yeah. It's definitely... It's definitely a very interesting poster. And I think it's a very fitting poster also for what it is. But I will say, seeing Luke on the left, you know, tinted red, and then Kylo Ren or Ben in the background, looking similar to Luke in the same sense, but a completely different perspective, I guess. And maybe from a certain point of view.
I don't know if it's just me, but if you look by Luke's cheek, you can see like stars or planets in the background, whereas Ben has, it's all completely black. There's nothing.
There's some speckles. Yeah,
there's some in the top right. Yeah, in the top right. Yeah, in the space up there and stuff. You know, but it definitely, it's interesting. And then you also have, obviously, Rey at the bottom holding the lightsaber up, but she's looking up to them, you know, at the same time, like... Which, I guess, you know, if you're going to overanalyze it, it could be maybe she's looking up to Luke, because they did say something in the panel of, be prepared, you know, what she was able to say was, you're not, you know, when you meet your heroes, they're not always what they seem, and they might be a letdown. So, it might be the thing that, you know, at the beginning, she's looking up to this legend that is Luke Skywalker, and then all of a sudden, there's some... something that causes her to feel let down with
She's
it.
Looking Who knows? Up.
He's looking out for her. Yeah, no. Okay.
Looking. Looking.
Oh, boy.
Sorry.
But into the trailer, we did see a few things in the trailer.
Wait, can I just say one thing about the poster?
Yes. Yes, you can.
sigh. I love how Star Wars is finally cashing in on the 80s kind of fad that everyone's going through right now. Especially after, like, since Force Awakens, we've gotten, like, a crap ton of just 80s-themed films and TV shows and everything. And this poster, not only, like, Rey's pose, but just, like, the fact that it's kind of, like, the picture is framed on, like, a white background, and then the title's not part of the picture. I just think...
Yeah.
I don't know. Like the throwback feel of it. I love this poster. I think it's awesome.
Like, Rey's pose, it kind of reminds me of, like, He-Man and She-Ra.
Yes.
Cartoon.
Love that.
Yeah, definitely like that. I will say, it's interesting, this poster, like, the biggest thing about this poster to me is versus the Force Awakens poster that we got. The Force Awakens poster was very much in the vein of... a traditional Star Wars poster,
yeah.
You know, the black background. It was much, it was like, you know, what you got in Attack of the Clones, like the redone original trilogy poster, a new first, Phantom Menace, everything.
Hold on, I'm going to try to find it. Wasn't the first Force Awakens poster, like, in the style of, like, it was written or drawn in the art style of, like, the older posters. Hold on, I'm gonna try to find it.
Yeah, this one. Well, I thought that way it works. The one I posted, was that not the original trailer? I'm trying to remember.
No, there was one that came out in like June poster? Or something in 2015. Well, I'm trying to upload it now. Nope, that is totally the wrong poster.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Wrong movie.
That's what I s-
yeah, right.
Yeah, that's not the poster. I think there, that's this fan one. Art there.
Can anybody
as
see
we
that?
Wait for Ben.
Yeah, that one.
It says it uploaded. Does nobody? Can nobody see it?
I can see it.
Yeah, we can see it. Mikey said that fan art.
Are you sure?
I'm fairly confident it is.
Oh, I thought I saw it like as an official thing. Maybe
I think. I think the art itself is official, but I don't. I think they would.
Somebody put it together.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think someone put it together.
Okay.
The only official poster for The Force Awakens, is the one I. Is, like I said, the one that is in the vein of...
The one that, like, looks like a prequel?
The one, like I posted the Return of the Jedi poster after it. Like, it's similar in style to that where, you know, you have the characters leaning over it. And we talked about, you know, Rey standing there with her staff and, you know, Kylo Ren's lightsaber ignited with Finn holding the lightsaber. We're like, oh my gosh, is Finn going to be a Jedi also? Or, you know, before you knew anything, right? This poster, the Last Jedi poster, compared to The Force Awakens, which I think would be a good one to compare it to. Completely different. Like, I mean, you know, obviously the Last Jedi poster harkens on some of the original artwork that you saw for A New Hope. When it comes to, you know, posters and stuff like that. But it, well, but it's still,
we
like,
finally have Luke back, right? So they want to play that up as much as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Before we move on to the teaser, can we just like really quickly touch on some of the stuff from the panel that we haven't touched on, like the really interesting stuff like about Carrie Fisher and the fact that in the tradition of like not only her on-screen role that she has become known for in Leia, but also her legacy as a script doctor continues on into this film in that she had a huge impact on like some of the dialogue for The Last Jedi, because she worked alongside Rian Johnson to be able to change some of the dialogue. They worked together on some of it. They did like stream of consciousness ad lib sessions, and at the end of it there'd be like a forward line of dialogue that came from all of it. So they worked on a lot of the script together, which is incredible to me. Like, I love that not only is she going to be a physical presence in the film, but her fingerprints are going to be all over the DNA of it as well. Like, so she is not only part of the film on screen, she's part of it in countless lines of dialogue and direction that the film has taken. And that, for me, is as fitting a tribute as we'll ever get, or a continuing legacy. Like, I think that's, to me, that's more than I could possibly have hoped for, and that was one of the things during the panel that I was really, really excited about. The other things, like stuff like we're going deeper into Rey's story, that BB-8 is going to be used almost like a Buster Keaton type role within the movie. So I know we've had like quite a lot of commentary from the different actors involved in that this is going to be a much darker version of Star Wars than we're used to. But the idea that BB-8 is going to be like a Buster Keaton-esque role was quite heartening to me, that like as dark as it may get, we've at least got some levity within BB-8 as a role. The other thing that they touched on, I think, was with Finn. So he's still in recovery from what happened to him in The Force Awakens, and he will still be trying to find his place when we start back up in The Last Jedi. Like, I think what they said was, like, he's trying to find his place in the Resistance, or whether he wants to continue running from the First Order. Like, is he going to stay or is he going to run? And also that we're going to get the continuing story of Finn and Poe and that friendship. So that was really cool for me as well.
Yeah,
I love that.
And the relationship between Rose
Space Boyfriends.
Anyway, but no, the other thing is just like the concept of like where we're at in the Star Wars galaxy that they also discussed. You know, they talked about how obviously they defeated, you know, the First Order's, you know, Starkiller base so they can no longer destroy planets like the Death Star. But they did succeed in destroying the heart of the Republic. You know, Hosnian Prime and all the planets there were destroyed, including all the senators and the senatorial governing of the Republic, the New Republic, has been destroyed. So in this film, you're going to see the First Order not sitting on their laurels, but going in hardcore, and it's a power vacuum. And what do we have to fight against that? I'm really excited for this because it's, you know, someone said, oh, I'm worried, you know, kind of what, you know, when you look at Force Awakens, they did play it a little safe. And we've talked about it. It is similar to the original trilogy in a way. And they kind of played it safe, but it makes sense. They're introducing the series to a whole new generation and people who may not have seen the other ones. Are they following Empire Strikes Back in this one? I don't think they are because the Empire was the Empire. They had it far reaching. At this point, the First Order is jumping in at, you know, taking advantage of this power vacuum. And this is where I'm excited to see Phasma maybe becoming a stronger character in this one, a little bit more development. Not only are we getting the comic, but more like, because we saw her in the trailer too.
Yeah, I love the idea of, obviously we may not see it as much in this one, but I love the idea of Hux, Kylo Ren, and Phasma being, like, the dark side trio. Like, being a foil to Rey, Finn, and Poe. Like, I love this idea of them juxtaposing each other. Like, Phasma for Finn, and Kylo Ren for Rey, and then probably Hux for Poe, in respect to where they stand within their respective orders, so like Hux First Order and Poe the Resistance. Like, I love that idea of them being like foils for each other and juxtaposing those roles. Like, I love that idea, but like obviously we need more of Phasma particularly in order to be able to do that. So that would be quite interesting.
Yeah, I'm curious to see, because we have, I mean, like you said, firstly when we look at Force Awakens, I mean, like, I was excited for Phasma too, but she became like the Boba Fett of Force Awakens, where like that was the most intriguing character, and then all of a sudden it's like the character we saw the least of. But with her coming in and like having more of Phasma, and then we have these new characters plus Luke, it's gonna be like, is this gonna be like a 3-hour Star Wars movie? You know, I mean, are they gonna be able to develop and are we gonna be able to see everyone as much as we want?
I mean, I would say that how, because we didn't even get any of Laura Dern's character at all, either in the trailer that. So the split that I would imagine is going to happen is that we're going to see a three-way split, potentially. We are going to have the Resistance base, wherever they've moved to, because the trailer suggested that they've moved bases, which makes sense, considering the First Order discovered where the Resistance base was, because Starkiller was going to be destroying it, like that was their next target. So they discovered where that base was, so it makes complete sense that they've moved somewhere else. So I would imagine
was probably like, let's please not move to an ice planet.
Yeah, so I would imagine that what we're going to see there are the members of the Resistance. So we're going to see Rose, we'll see Finn and his recovery, we'll see Poe there, we'll see Leia, potentially whoever Laura Dern is playing, she will probably be there as well if she's part of the Resistance or involved in that
in
some way.
C-3PO.
Yeah, so anyone like that, anyone
and
involved.
And R2-D2's back too.
Well, yeah, R2-D2's on. He went with Chewie and Rey to see Luke.
Unless they just dropped it off.
Oh, well, that's true.
Yeah, so we're obviously going to have that. Then we're going to have Luke and Rey at R2. And then, obviously, we're going to have the First Order, where they will probably be able to focus on those characters. But we've also got Benicio del Toro as well, haven't we? who is also a character. Who we know is going to be
a
villain.
That's a lot of people. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, but we know he's going to be a villain. But we don't know if he's going to be involved in the First Order or not. But again, like, we don't know how large these roles are. Right. They may be like a recurring or a smaller role, much like Maz was in The Force Awakens. Like, she was in there, but I mean, that scene was a bridge between two places. So, and getting characters
even
from
that
point
being
A
said, I mean, like, Maz was such an influential character to have all these people be, like, or at least some of them be side characters, but at the same time, that influential would be crazy. Because then we would have, like, solid character after solid character supporting the main characters.
Yeah, but that isn't that what you want?
No, I'm saying that's what I want, but I'm just saying, like, we have so many new people versus so many older people we have to see again. You know, I'm just... If they develop, you know, the secondary characters as well as the new main characters, as well as, you know, we have Luke coming back and everything like that, just, like, I don't know, the sheer amount of character building in a 2-hour, you know, 15-minute-ish time frame. Like, it's going to be really interesting to see how they do that.
I mean, they've kind of, they touched on it during the panel, though, that, like, we're going to see them in groups, so they're going to be developing together.
Right. Yeah.
So it's not necessarily that they're individually going to have, like, scenes. So we're not going to just see Finn developing on his own, and then Poe developing on his own, and then Rose developing on her own, then Rey. You know, we're going to see Rey and Luke stuff together. We're probably going to see Kylo Ren, Phasma, and Hux connected quite close. And Del Toro probably connected quite closely. When we get Leia's stuff, I would imagine we'll probably get a lot of Laura Dern's stuff as well. And then Finn, Rose, and potentially Poe as well, because we know that Rose is going to get dragged into Finn's adventures, but we also know that Finn and Poe are going to be continuing to develop that relationship between those two characters as well. So by virtue of that fact, you can assume that the three of them are going to be like a mini trio going off on adventures together. So,
do
you know,
that Laura Dern's character is not a villain?
We don't know anything about Laura Dern. The rumors have been that she is in some way connected to the Resistance, whether that means a Senate member that was potentially not on Hosnian Prime or in the Hosnian system when it was destroyed, and so she's, like, regrouping by coming to the Resistance, or whether she is another general or officer of the Resistance that was on a different mission at the time. Like, the rumor has been that she is connected to the Resistance in some way, whereas Del Toro is a villain. Like, we know that he's playing a villain.
We've known Del Toro a villain for a long time. Like, that's
yeah, so
how could Del Toro not be a villain is my question, you know?
That's kind of true. So they've talked a lot about these things, and you know, it's just interesting to see where we can see the Last Jedi go. And I feel like we'll talk a lot more about this in when we break down the trailer, because I do want to start talking about, you know, the books that were sitting there and all the other things. And one thing I did want to say when we talked about, you know, the books, and one crazy theory I have already, and I just, if any of you have read Shattered Empire, and I know you have, Danya.
I have indeed,
there
yes.
Is, do you remember, real quick, with Shattered Empire, let's see if I have it right here. I'm going to post this in, here's a scene from the comic I'm dropping in Discord for you guys, but there is in Shattered Empire, there is a thing that Luke goes after with Shara Bay, specifically the trees, the Force trees.
Yes.
And you see this tree that looks remarkably like the Bendu, and Luke on his own. And so there's just so many things that have come out in this trailer that makes me super excited. But that's going to be next week that we'll discuss.
Yeah.
Anything else about the panel?
Not about the panel. My vague theory about the books specifically is that they might be the Journal of the Wills.
Oh, I agree with you 100% on that. That's not
Yeah, because they've been touching on that far too much for it not to be. They've brought it too much back into canon across different places for that not to be something that they're going to go for.
Well, that would make sense also because isn't Octu the first Jedi temple?
We're assuming, yes.
We're assuming that's
only
what
because
that's
Han Solo said that.
Says, those who knew him best, that's what Luke was going to. And if Luke was going to take this forest tree that he stole from the Empire anywhere.
That's where he would take sense. It.
That's where he would take it to, is the First Jedi Temple. You know, yeah. So like, I feel like that's where that would be. And at the same time, for those of you who have read, was it the Rogue One book, Rogue One novel? I'm trying to pull it up right now on my Kindle, just taking time. But if you've read the Rogue One novel, at the beginning of it is an excerpt from the Journal of the Wills.
Yes.
So we've gotten some things from this, and you know, obviously they're alluding to it fairly heavy. So I wouldn't be surprised if
they've pushed it so much, and especially with like Baze and Chirrut being like the guardian of the wills as well.
Exactly. Like it's gonna be something that is gonna be tied to to what we're gonna get. So I'm excited to talk about the trailer in depth, and I definitely think we're gonna do a scene by scene next week. So be prepared for that, everybody. Anything else about any of the news that have come out of Celebration? Obviously, there's a whole lot still that we haven't covered. If you haven't checked it, check out StarWars.com. Check out Hypeable for all this different news. And obviously, check out our Twitter feed. We'll have more of it. Anything else, guys, that I skipped?
The one thing that I'm really super, 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 super excited about that is like an aside. Hasbro revealed new 6-inch Black Series figures.
Oh my gosh, yeah. Yeah.
And Thrawn and Jaina Solo are part of the series. So, yes. There's a really cool one. Oh my gosh, Jaina Solo. Yeah, so there's a really, really cool one that has Rey's speeder with Jakku and her and her scavenger
purple lightsaber for Jaina. Yeah, Jaina's purple lightsaber and her flight suit. And it's so cool. Sorry.
It is.
That's what I miss. It
is.
About
like, the whole series is so cool. You've got Luke and the land speeder. You've got Thrawn. You've got what else was there? There was a few others. Yeah, Jaina Solo was cool. They have a Tarkin figure. They had an Inferno Squadron pilot. So there's loads of really, really cool new figures. But like the Thrawn one is so cool, and the Jaina Solo one is amazing, and I want her immediately. And those most of them are out.
No.
A couple of them are going to be, the Thrawn one is a San Diego Comic-Con exclusive, and it's going to be about $50, but it's so cool, like really cool. And the Jaina Solo one is going to retail for about $20, and it'll be out later this year. And I think the same for like some of the, like the Inferno Squadron one, I think is later this year, and Tarkin is sometime in spring, and I think the land speeder, the Luke land speeder one, is a Comic-Con exclusive as well. Or there is a version of it that's a Comic-Con exclusive. But yeah, so they're really exciting. So if you collect the Black Series figures, there's some really cool stuff coming out.
Yeah, no, it should be good. But yes, thank you all for listening to another episode of Resistance Radio. Feel free to reach out to us on Twitter at @RRadioPodcast or on Facebook at facebook.com/resistanceradiopodcast. Remember to visit our Patreon page at patreon.com/resistanceradiopodcast. There you can join up and be part of our first movie night, which we'll be announcing the date coming up soon. And like I said, I think Phantom Menace is winning, which will be kind of wizard. As always, I am Mikey B.
I'm Danya.
I'm Ben.
And I'm Caitlin.
And may the Force be with you.
And also you.
It's time for the Jedi